Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Now, for 2,000 years, about 2,000 years ago, actually, in some wilderness in the Palestinian desert, the devil launched a direct attack against the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. It was a single battlefield, submission. Kneel, bow, submit to me. Now, the enemy's goal was to break Christ's alignment with the Father. And to this very day, that strategy, that is the one that remains exactly what he utilizes until today. Now, every spiritual battle we face boils down to one daily choice. Will we submit to God or will we surrender to the enemy? Even from the Garden of Eden, that was the point. Will we say, okay, let's do away with God's word and follow the enemies? Let's hear then how we can be equipped as the lesson guides us in training us to submit to God's plan. And leading out in this discussion is our elder, Elder Dumisani Moyo Mdala. Good morning to you and welcome again.
Good morning. How are you, Derek?
No, doing all right, sir. And yourself?
I'm doing okay, actually. I'm doing okay.
We praise God. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us again.
No, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for taking us through up to this point.
We appreciate it. We thank God for that as well. Dala, looking at this idea of submitting to God, is submission to God a passive attitude, right? Did we say, okay, fine, we just do whatever you want us to do. You are king after all. Or does this mean that we're like robots that make no decision, and that God's program is what we just apply in our lives?
So this actually is one of the questions that comes into a lot of people's minds. Why would we, when we think of this idea of submission and surrender, it almost makes it seem like, well, then what? I get rid of my humanity. I get rid of my ability to choose, or my, what would you say? Autonomy.
Yep.
Yeah. I would get rid of my autonomy. And, do I then become an automaton? Do I become a robot? So, I think actually absolutely not. None of us actually by submitting, we are not resigning, if I can put it that way. Many times we confuse the two as if we're resigning to say, I've given up on everything. I no longer have any humanity in myself. It's just being driven along. But and some people have even used this text that says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, as if that's to say, well, that means it's, you know, you no longer are even a person anymore. And that's taking the verse out of context, actually.
Okay.
Some would even go to say this one that says, that it is not me who wills to do it, but it is God in me willing to do that which is good. Just before that text, actually, and I believe that should be in Romans, if it's not Romans 12, but the idea that comes forward is just before that, it says that you should work out your salvation with trembling and fear. Then the verse that comes after that is the one that says that it is God who wills and does that which is good inside of us. So the idea is, we work in cooperation with God. Mm-hmm. Not that we become robots, no. But rather, God works with us. And we are, when we surrender, it's not the idea of resigning. Okay. Surrendering is saying that, Lord, here I am, use me as you will. And he still uses us in a way which is not, and it's not like using as the devil would use us. With just for the sake of using and then dumping off across the side of the road. But the way that God does it is that he says, you are mine, and that which is that is going on is now growth, not being driven like a robot, but growing into who you really are and who you were made to be. And so it's not the idea of being a robot. Actually, if there's anyone who respects free will, it is God himself.
Beautiful stuff. I think it's 1 Corinthians 3, which mentions us being co-laborers together with God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're working out our own salvation, but also the salvation of those around us as he continues daily to send us out into the vineyard. I think that's beautiful way to put it. And thank you so much for clarifying that for Adam Dan. How can we then hear God's voice and know his plan for us? Since, like you're saying, we're not just surrendering and resigning and he does whatever he needs to do. We are somehow needing to have an active part. And so if we're working together, one thing about partnership is you got to know what your partner is doing so that you can work in tandem, in alignment with them. How do we then identify that voice of God?
So I think what you had introduced with this with actually is a very good example.
Okay.
Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. There are other renditions of it in the other gospels. But in Matthew 4, one thing that comes out clearly, every time when the devil came with any assault, there was one thing that Jesus always said. He always said, "It is written." And remember, this is direct, like you said, it's direct combat where you have the voice of God. I mean, you have the voice of the enemy sounding like he may be, you know, like it's a good voice because he came as an angel of light when he came there. It's as if, you know, almost as if to say, no, you know, your fasting, your suffering is over. You don't have to do all of this, you know. And it sounds good. It sounds comforting. But then the one way that we can tell the difference or we can know that, no, the voice of God is because, well, God doesn't contradict himself.
Okay.
What we find written in the word of God would not contradict that which comes from, which comes from the voice of God because they are one and the same. Now, let me put it like this. And maybe just to clarify on how we can know, there are three ways that we can point out.
All right.
One, the scripture. Do not ignore scripture. Scripture lets us know what the principles that God, knows, loves, and who he actually is. And so, let us not ignore scripture. On top of that, so we have the word of God, like Jesus said, it is written. Then, on top of that, we also have divine providence. And that's basically where you see that the Lord has opened up doors and has, you know, has opened up doors towards what you are to do.
Okay.
And what he would love you to do. And so when he opens up those doors and gives us those opportunities. Now, the third one that I would say is one that, again, must be in line with scripture, but it could be direct communication. God literally does say directly that, oh, and I'm not saying it necessarily has to be a voice. It could, and does the Lord give dreams? Yes, he still does. Does he still speak directly? Yes, he does. I'll be frank with you, Derek. I've never been the kind to have dreams, but I've been around people who do.
Okay.
But again, remember all of these in order to realize that this is the voice of God, all three must harmonize. For example, if you have a dream that says you should kill your spouse, remember the word of God says thou shalt not kill. Then you know that you know what, this voice or this dream that I had, it's not in line with scripture. Therefore, I know that this is not anything to do with God. It goes against God's word, like we had talked about yesterday. I think we had touched on this a little bit yesterday, talking about if they speak not according to the scriptures or, I mean, to the prophets or, how did that one go, Derek? Yes, Isaiah 8 verse 20.
Yeah.
Yes, where it says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. This is a good principle to apply even when it comes to providence that comes. If the providence that shows up is saying that, oh, you'll have to do something really corrupt in order to get this thing, then that's no. You know that's not the way of the Lord to be able to get it, so you won't go down that path. So, yes, there is this. But remember, first and foremost, principles of life going forward must be guided by the Word of God.
Yeah, it must be guided by the Word of God. And if it's against it, then you must obviously doubt. And maybe let's circle back to that portion of getting counsel or direction from those that have been, especially from a scriptural perspective. How would you then balance when someone says, but I've got precedence in God's word. You said I mustn't kill my spouse. I heard the voice. It was loud and clear. Mm-hmm. It was God's voice. And it was the same as he did to Abraham. He told Abraham to kill his child, right? A young person saying, no, I know that everybody is warning me against getting into this relationship because this person has got all the red flags in the book. And they're like, yeah, but God told Hosea to marry Gomer. Maybe this is what he's saying to me as well. How would you then balance turn these young people away or these people who are seemingly misdirected, whereas they've got scriptural precedence?
So it's very interesting. Whenever you look at all of these situations in scripture, whether you're talking about Hosea or whether you're talking about even Abraham, remember that these people had, first of all, we have more scripture than they did. I'm not saying they are worse off than us, but then remember that their stories are given to us as an example. So remember that in these cases, these are more the, how would I put it? These are more these are not the norm. But even before that, each one of these two, Hosea, Gomer, or even if you look for any other precedents, remember that they had their long running relationship with God. Hosea, when he was called to marry Gomer, was while he was already a prophet and was already called that way. I would say that is I think the words I was looking for is those are the exceptions and not the norm.
Okay.
When Abraham was called to kill or to sacrifice, his child, Isaac, I believe it's Isaac, yes. When he was called to kill or to sacrifice Isaac, it was with this idea of that God was actually putting forward a goal that had to do with his glory. Now, remember, again, I'll say this, that's the exception and not the norm. When he calls you to say that, oh, I will work in this exceptional way. In all those cases, God made it very clear that it was him. It wasn't just, oh, okay. I will say it one time or I will say it, just no. There was the assurance of, no, I'm saying this because I know that many would want me to say, oh no, forget it. It's nonsense. God doesn't speak that way. But there's a problem with saying that because we are limiting how God would speak or how God would work. Yeah. But again, I will say it. The way that God works may not be the way that we usually think that he will, but we know that he goes according to his word. He does not go against his word. And so I will say this again, God does not hide his will from us. It's not like we have to somehow decipher some big code. No, the idea is God says that my sheep hear my voice. This is what Jesus says. And the first thing we should be focusing on is, am I his sheep? Because here's the thing. the enemy has a voice too. We should not ignore that. And being able to go to God, and I sometimes wonder, Derek, what it would have been like if Eve at the tree, when hearing the voice of the enemy, had just said, I'm going to go back and talk to God about this. How much would have changed instead of just taking things into our own hands? We must take on that, not to take on this idea of saying that I know, I already know, is a very dangerous point of view to take it from. To say, no, I really know, but to be willing to be humble and being willing to learn, if it is figured, and believe me again, I'll say this, God doesn't try to hide his will from us. So if it's one of those things where we are saying that, no, I really truly believe that this is God who is calling me to do this thing. And then someone comes along. Sorry, Derek, go ahead. You were going to clarify your question. Go ahead.
No. I was wanting to actually move from that, and thank you for that clarity that you've actually shared. I was wanting to then draw from one of the examples you gave. You spoke about Eve.
Yes.
And in Eve's space, we hear how the call is disobedience, going against God's will, is actually beneficial for you. If you eat this fruit, you become better than what God intended for you to become, right? That's the deception that is there, and the claim that is offered. Then the question that will then come to us and today is: sometimes the plan of God doesn't look beneficial. It doesn't look like it's got good things. In fact, the opposite looks like it's the one that's the nice stuff. Question then is: what is the benefit of submitting to God's plan? Are there benefits?
So I like how you put that. Remember where we had started off from in Matthew chapter 4. The devil came with that kind of thing, and he presented all the, you know, he presented all the good things of the world and said, you know, all these things can be yours if you were just bow to me. And here's the interesting thing. Mm-hmm. One of the hardest things to really believe, and I think the reason why faith can usually be lost, is first of all the idea that God does not want what's best for us. To trust that he really wants what's best for us. But then I would easily go to this: what are the benefits? God does not hide. I think we often say that, you know what, I like people to be honest with me, you know, I like people to be frank with me. But when it happens, We don't really behave like we like it. And so here's the thing. Jesus is very clear about it. He says that you will face persecution. If you have a life with Christ, you will be persecuted. He doesn't lie about that. God does not lie about the negatives that come along with being his child. He actually says that if I was persecuted and if I was bruised, a servant is not better than his master. So best believe they will. But he also says that these things will come to you. So he doesn't hide that fact, but then he then says, but have great hope, have cheer, because I have overcome the world. And so because I have overcome the world, you will also overcome this world. No matter whether you are a Christian or not, you will face struggles. But the benefit and the difference with being a Christian is that your pain, the suffering, is one, will not last forever. Two, Amen. There is eternal life. Three, your pain even here, your suffering even over here, in the hands of God, is not meaningless. It is not wasted, because even I think in Second Peter it actually does say, or is it First Peter, where it actually says that these trials, they bring in perseverance, patience, and patience brings in character, and it gives us this ability to then walk with God. And then the problem is, you face these same problems in the world and you think you have peace. But honestly, I think I will quote from someone who was once in the world.
Okay.
Well, maybe probably still is, but was very popular at a certain point, the actor Jim Carrey. He said, you know what? I wish that people would get everything, would get all the success that they want, so that they would get it and then realize that it is empty. And then they can start pursuing what really matters. So here's the benefit to being a Christian or following God's will for your life is that, one, it's fulfilling. Two, there's eternal life. Three, it is not hidden from you. Four, your suffering is not meaningless. Five, the devil, he hides it. And at the end of the day, he tricks you. He puts these terms and conditions in the small print. And the ways at the end of the day go towards death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Through Christ Jesus. Amen.
May God help us, and may we choose the right thing, not because of its floweriness, but because of its rightness. Sadly, our time is out, Mdala, but maybe quickly as we conclude, maybe someone is saying, hey, I hear you, Mdala, but it's too late for me. I've already wandered far away from the path of God, and I've disobeyed him. I've disregarded his plan for my life. Is there a way for them to come back, or is really chai, it's done for them?
So let's go back to what we had said in the scripture we had read. It is written. So there's so many examples of people in the Bible who thought they had veered off of God's course. Moses is one example.
Okay.
He tried to save the people of Israel his own way and ended up killing an Egyptian, and it ended up having to run away into the wilderness. But God still called him to delivering the people of Israel. Another example is Manasseh, one of the most wicked kings of Israel. But then when he went into exile, he turned his life to God, and God accepted him and even brought him back into his kingdom. So this is what I would say. If you feel like you have veered off the path and that maybe God's plan for your life did not come to pass because you chose differently from what God chose for you or what God's will was, it is not too late to turn back. God is a God of many more than just second chances. He calls back to us and he says, how can I give you up? I would wish that you would come back home. The parable of the prodigal son, he thought that he had gone too far away from home. No, that's a trick of the enemy. The enemy says you have gone too far because he thought that he thinks that, well, his time is short and he knows his time is short. But for you, if you are alive today and hearing this, God is giving you another chance today, today, and today.
Beautiful. Today is the day that you are having that other chance, and God is calling you to come. Thank you so much, my elder. May God bless you. Until we chat again next time, we appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Derek. You have a blessed day, and you are be blessed by God.
Amen. Amen. We want to appreciate the elder there for taking us through this lesson. A reminder that this lesson is something that you can participate in, and is a lesson that you, my dear friend, can enroll in, go through the whole course, 26 lessons in the Discover Study Guide, at the end of which you get yourself a certificate.
Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.